Good morning, church. How are we doing? Is everybody all right? You're like, man, I did not have enough sleep for this guy. What's going on? So this morning, you're at the mercy of the youth pastor. If you don't know me, my name is Matt. I'm the youth pastor here. I love preaching God's word. I love it. I love to see God's people worship. I love to see young people worship. I love to see young people on fire for the Lord. I'm just letting you know what I love this morning. Is that okay? Is that cool? Yeah, we cool with that? Awesome. Well, just a fair warning, I woke up on the Pentecostal side of the bed this morning. So if I get really excited, don't stare at me like I'm crazy. Just get really excited. Even if you're like, I don't know what he's saying. Amen. Amen. Bless him, Lord. Jesus, do what you can, Lord. Right? Amen. Let's pray real quick. If you would do me a favor, you don't have to stand up, but just lift both of your hands. We're going to get real crazy in here right now. Just lift both of your hands. Both of your hands. And we're just going to begin to pray. And I want you to pray for me as I pray that the Holy Spirit speak to you. All right? Here we go. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your presence. Lord God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is going to transform our hearts this morning. We thank you for the presence that we feel right now, God. We thank you that you are taking control of the atmosphere in here, that no matter what the enemy tries to do, it is not going to work in the name of Jesus, because your word is going to go forth and your presence is going to break all addictions and all chains in the name of Jesus. Anoint me, hide these people from my opinion, and in Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. Lift it up, church. Come on. I'm excited. So this morning, don't freak out. I'm going to be talking to my lovely wife this morning. She's right there. Wave, sweetheart. She's so pretty. She's going to put up my graphic right now that David, and if you guys didn't know, I want to throw some mad props. I don't even think he's in here right now. I probably went to go get water. But David always makes our graphics on Sunday mornings, and he is awesome. So next time you see him, just tell him good job. What's going on there? Is it working? Not working? Uh-oh. That's not going to work. Cameron, can you help me out? Sorry, we're having technical difficulties. It's going to be all right, though. I love this title slide, so I just got to get the deal up. Maybe not. But there it is. Yes. Woo. That's awesome. You left me. You left me. Obviously, somebody left this poor kid. Look at him. You left me. Anybody ever been left before? Yeah. Now, children, don't point at your parents in here. You know, you're like, they left me, the supermarket. They left me. Some of you have ever been driving, you realize your mom had left you, your dad left you, you're like running behind the car, and you're like, why are they going faster? Mom, I love you, right? Like, I'll do the dishes, I promise. Just pick me up. No, I'd been left once in my life, and let me tell you, it was a pretty scary experience. I was like 5 years old, and I remember we had went to a Target. And we were visiting my grandma in Louisiana. Crowley, Louisiana. It's an amazing place. They roll up the sidewalks at 6 o'clock. There's lots to do. Not really. So we went to Lafayette, which is like 30 minutes away, to go to a Target. So we're there, and my grandma's shopping. I'm with my brother and my sister. Well, my sister tells my brother, you know, watch him. Watch him, okay? Keep an eye on him. He's like, all right, I got it. All right, I got it. So we're walking. We find this cool little game kiosk, and so we're playing, you know, just playing. It's so much fun. I'm having a blast. And, you know, and I start playing. And after a little while, I start to realize something. My brother's not there anymore. Right now, what had probably happened was my brother was playing with me on the game, and some fly honey came walking by, and she was just like, dude, maybe slow-mo, hair, you know, flipping out. And he's like, woo, girl, what's up? So he starts taking off. Forgets about his little brother, right? So when I come to, I break the focus. I started smelling something weird, and I thought, what's happening? Well, there was like a little three-year-old playing next to me, and let me tell you, I'm pretty sure he jacked his drawers. But either way, I get snapped back to reality, right? And I begin to think, and I begin to panic, and I'm like, oh, God, I've been left, right? I start kind of freaking out, and so I immediately start planning, like, okay, well, I just need to find where the water is. If I can find the water... Oh, last word. Isn't it funny how you get left or you get lost? You think, like, if I just find water, water, right? You're already thirsty. You're like, oh, I'm not going to make it. I need water. You know, and so I'm thinking, oh, I just need to find the water, and I just got to find somebody. And I start crying, and I start freaking out. And so I get in this little beanbag chair that they had. You know, the beanbag chairs they had at the store, they used to have all over. Everybody would. So I'm laying on it. I'm just like, right? And I'm so scared. I'm just thinking, God, I'm going to be here forever. Must have been 30 minutes, but it probably wasn't. Probably like 5 minutes, maybe. And this old lady comes up. She goes, sweetie, are you lost? And I think, yeah, what do you think, right? Like, no, I'm fine. Like, five-year-old here shopping at Target, just going to bring some groceries home to my wife, right? Like, come on, lady. Yes, I'm lost. I've been left, you know. So she picks me up, and I'm like, oh, you smell like my grandma, right? So I'm happy, and she takes me to the front. And as I proceed to the front of the checkout, there's my brother and my sister is proceeding just to beat my brother. Stupid! Stupid! And I felt so much better. I was like, yes, you are stupid. No, I love my brother and sister, and they're awesome. But, I can't get out of that feeling. You know, you feel left. You've had that, right? Some of you have experienced that. You're like, they left me. Or maybe you felt like you were left in a situation that was unfair. Maybe you thought, oh, this isn't right. Like, the odds are stacked against me. Or maybe you feel like in the job you're at right now, it's just not cool, right? Like all your coworkers, they just love to curse like every 27 seconds, right? They're like, yeah, beep. And you're like, what? You're like, I just want to find a Christian job where nobody curses at me. But you're like, God, why am I here? Why am I in this place? And sometimes we feel like God has left us. We think, man, he left us. We go through a hard spot. We get that feeling. And you know what? I'm going to be real with you this morning. I'm not going to be really like hyper-spiritual and tell you, well, the Lord had never left you, right? Sometimes we feel that way. Did the Lord leave us? No. But sometimes he puts us in situations for reasons. Sometimes he makes us go through things so he can bring the gold out. He can start burning the stuff out and start bringing the true gold out of our lives, right? There's things he's got to work out of us. I got a buddy in the Bible, and he's my buddy. We hang out, not really. It'd be awesome. But Titus 1, throw that up there, Sid. Titus 1. Oh, there we go. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Now, I want to give you just a little brief history. This is Titus. He was with Paul, who Paul, as you know, is the man, okay? He's like the man. When we talk about Paul, people are like, oh, wow, Paul, you know. He did all sorts of things in the Bible. You know, I mean, it's just crazy, the things that God used him to do. So he had Titus with him, and he went to the Isle of Crete, which isn't far from where Rome was. It's off the kind of coast of Italy there, a bunch of islands grouped together, off the island of Crete to plant this church, right? So if I'm Titus, I'm thinking like, man, I'm learning from Paul. I've got Paul with me. It's going to be awesome. Right? Like, we're going to see people saved and people gonna fall out in Jesus' name, right? And we're getting excited, right? We're going to see God do some miracles. And then Paul leaves him. All right, Titus, taught you, I'm out of here. I'm leaving it to you. Huh? What? Right? I don't know about you, but my confidence level a little bit would kind of be shaken. I'd be like, Paul, where are you going? What's happening? You're leaving me here? Okay, all right, it's cool. You know, to me, Paul was the type of dad, like, if he were a dad, he'd be the type of dad that just throws you in the pool, right? Like, just like, hey, you want to swim? Okay, here we go. Get in there. Yeah, kick them feet. Move them legs. Don't drown. Don't you drown. That was like Paul to me. So the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Go to verse 10. For there are many rebellious people. Okay, so he starts telling him, we're starting to get an idea of what Titus is facing here. It says, for there are many rebellious people full of meaningless talk and deception, especially those of the circumcision group. So the church people, and the worst are the church people. The people you should be able to count on are the worst. Good luck, Titus. So, 11, they must be silenced because they're disrupting whole households by teaching things that they ought not to teach and that for the sake of dishonest gain. One of Crete's own prophets has said it. Cretans, my dad used to call me a Cretan. I don't think he's realized he was being quite biblical. Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, lazy gluttons. The saying is true. Awesome. So here we are. I get this church, right? Titus is get this church, and they're full of lazy gluttons, liars, cretins. Might turn to your neighbor and say, you a cretin? You a cretin? No, don't point at anybody. The saying is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply so they will be sound in the faith and will pay no attention to Jewish myths or to the merely human commands of those who reject the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciousness are corrupted. Sounds a lot like the day we live in. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they what? They deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Love, Paul. Have fun, Titus, right? You got this. So needless to say, Titus, he could have felt betrayed, right? He could have felt that he was just left on this island, Crete. Like, where is Crete? I don't get cell phone service out here. What is this, right? He could have felt betrayed. He could have just felt like he was left in a bad spot. Some of us has been through trials. We've been through things, and you feel like God just left you. But I want you to know something. God isn't punishing you. God's not just harping on you. He's not the kid on the anthill with the magnifying glass trying to burn your legs off. That's not God. He's giving you an opportunity to grow. He's giving you an opportunity to see his glory and his power in your life. See, had Titus just thrown his hands up and been like, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to go hang out with Timothy. Right? Like, I'm out of here. Peace. We wouldn't be reading about Titus. We wouldn't have that. But he didn't. He stuck it out. He did what he was supposed to do. And Crete became an awesome church full of awesome Cretans that were saved by grace. Do I have any awesome Cretans in here that are saved by grace? Anybody? Amen. Amen. See, we would see a lot more miracles in our lives if we stopped seeing delays as delays or trials as just trials. But if we start seeing them as divine appointments for change, we would start seeing more miracles. You start wondering, why don't I see miracles in my life? Well, maybe because you start pitching a fit every time something goes wrong instead of seeing that God has a divine appointment for you in that situation. God has a divine appointment for you in that job. You might say, oh, I'm sick of this job. Sick of these people. And God's saying, you want to see miracles? God, I want to get out of here. You want to see miracles? God, I want to get out of here. You're staying. Right? But we would see more miracles in our lives. See, I had this job a while back when I stopped being a youth pastor for a little while, and we had went through this whole spiel when me and my wife were first married with a pastor at another church. God bless them. And it just went crazy, okay? And we were really just really kind of like, wow, like blown away by like bad things. And so I took this regular job, right? I said, well, I got to get a job. You know, this regular job, you know, I'm going to go out and get this job and work, and I don't know what I can get. I'm trying to get a job, you know, at McDonald's or something. like, God, I need a job. So I get this vending job, okay, and I'm filling up vending machines, which you would think is easy, right? Like, you're like, yeah, fill up vending machines all day, count stuff, easy. No, it's not. If anybody in here does that, I'm sorry. I'm praying for you, because that is hard work. Like, it's hard work. I would have lost a lot of weight had I not been able to eat as many candy bars as I wanted while I was on the road, right? So I had this job, and I begin to think that I'd wake up every morning miserable. And for the first 3 months, I'd say, God, why are you doing this to me? Why? And I'd say, God, is today the day I can quit? He's like, son, you've been working there for 2 weeks. God, is today the day, Lord. I just want to do ministry, God. I just want to serve you, right? And God's like, serve me where you're at. I was like, all right. So I began to see things. I began to, because you were driving this truck all day, and God would speak to me all day. It was amazing. I would be able to pray all day. No, you don't work with anybody. Nobody's in there bothering you. It was just me and God. God got me alone for an entire year. During the day, he got me alone and spoke to me every day and began to sow into my life. And I began to think, this is amazing. I don't want to leave this. I love this time that I have. And what's crazy is it took me getting a vending job to discover that. That's what's crazy, that I could have all this time with God that I wanted. So it birthed this thing in me, and I began to minister to my boss, because he began to think that, hey, religion is just religion. And I began to agree with them. I said, you're right. Religion is just religion. But when you meet Jesus, everything in your life changes. And he began to open up and he began to say, you know what? That makes sense. I said, I know. It's crazy. I began to minister to my boss. It was amazing. God opened amazing doors. He still texts me to this day. Of course, he always wants me to come back. And I'm like, no, never. Never. Jesus, I love where I'm at. I have done most of my growing in trying situations. Most of my growing has been done in trials. I don't know about you. You might be like one of those people that just grow on the mountaintop. You're like, yeah, in the sunlight. But me, it's down in the valley. When I got to start digging ditches, when I got to start working for my blessings, that's where I start growing. That's where I start seeing God show up in the biggest ways. I had jury duty one time. I've actually had jury duty quite a few times in the past year. I guess they figured out that they're like, he's a youth pastor. Let's bring him in. Let's just give him a hard time. So I have jury duty the first time ever, and I took a picture of it. I was probably committing a felony right there, but I took a picture of the little thing and posted it on Instagram and said, jury duty lame. Stupid. Right? Like, I mean, like, I want to get out of here, dude. Like, I don't want to be stuck in jury duty. This is, no. Like, you put me in a, like, small room with no color. I'm just like, freaking out, like, okay, I'm ready to get out of here, right? So I'm just, you know, and I posted on, I'm like, lame. And everybody's posting, they're like, yeah, that is lame. And they're all liking and stuff. I'm like, yeah, that makes me feel a little better. And of course, lo and behold, nobody other than the Andrea Ferris posts on this jury duty post. While I'm sulking, while I'm upset that I have jury duty, she posts and says, oh, I had jury duty last week. She's like, and I got to talk to people about Jesus. I was like, hashtag shut up. But then I began to sit there and God began to convict me and I'm like, dang it. So I began to talk to people and I had a blast. You know, I was able to talk to people and love on them and minister to them and tell them about my life and what was going on in me. And they even ministered to me. It was amazing. It's amazing when you stop seeing delays as delays and you start seeing them as divine appointments. You start seeing in your trials that you can grow, that God is trying to bring something out of you to advance you. God didn't put you in Crete. I want you to listen to me. God didn't put you in Crete just to survive. Sometimes we get put in these situations and think, God, if I could just survive. God, if I could just make it through, just get to the weekend, you know, it'd be all right. God puts you in Crete to thrive. He puts you to see things growing in the valley. Even though when it's dark, when you walk through that valley, flowers begin to sprout up because there's an amazing presence that follows your life. You begin to change the atmosphere. A lot of times we only see the problems in the Crete situation. We only see the problems, right? You start thinking like, my boss, gosh, God bless his heart. Just can't stand him. Or that lady next to me. She was always talking real loud on her phone in the cubicle. Can't stand her. Right? Or you come into church and we're seeing the problems in church. You walk in, you're like, it's not cold enough in here. I don't like that light. Is that new? I hate that. What are they playing? Oh, no, that's silly. That bass player, he's got a weird haircut. I don't like him. I don't like this at all. We start seeing the problems. And not the opportunity to bring about change and to grow. Not the chance to look at ourselves and see what we need to change. We're always looking at other people. What can they change? Oh, if they would just stop doing this. If their life would just be like this. What about your life? What about you? You can't control anyone else, but you can control you. People are quick. They want to get out of a trying situation. We want to get out of it. And look, it's human nature, okay? Nobody looks at a GPS and sees a whole bunch of traffic and says, yeah, I want to go that way. Yeah, sign me up. Oh, yeah, we're going to sit there for an hour and a half? Yes, let's do it. Party. I brought extra water. We're good. Bring my own water bottle, right? No, nobody does that. You'd be crazy. But yet, spiritually, that's how we grow. When God puts us through a situation, he says, I want you to go through this. You say, God, I don't want to, right? You're like, oh, yeah, here comes a trial. I'm so excited, right? Sign me up. But he wants to deal with you. He wants to do things through you. We can't skip the hard part and get right to the reward. I've met so many people in ministry and in my life that all they wanted to do was get on the big stage. They wanted to get on the big things. They didn't want to take the time in the trenches. They didn't want to take the time in the relationships they needed to develop. They didn't want to take that time. You learn so much, and God does so much through you. Stop trying to skip it. Stop it. Quit it. It's It's like that movie, I forget what it's called, like Click or something like that with the remote. He just fast forwards through everything and eventually he can't stop it. And he's like, ah, this is what we're trying to skip everything. Luke 22:42, throw that up there. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. This is Jesus talking. He's in the garden. Even Jesus dealt with this. God, I don't want to do this. It's going to hurt. Right? And some of us freak out about little things. And Jesus was, of course, you know, going to go to the cross and die for your sins. And we think, oh, God, I don't want to get up and go to church. I don't want to do that. Jesus saying, please, but you know what? And this is a great example for us to follow. But your will be done, not mine. Your will be done. James, throw this one up. One, I'll read this to you. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. People are probably like, James, you smoking? What? For you know that when your faith is tested, what did we talk about last week? Putting our faith in action. What did Justin preach about last week? Putting our faith in action. For you know when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. When we see some substance to your faith, you have a chance to grow. Right? So let it grow. When your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. We go through things for a reason. Trust in God's choice to leave you in Crete. Trust it. Why would God put me in this situation? Because he knew you could handle it. I don't think I can. You can. You trust on God's grace and his power. Oh, you can. Why did God put me here in this job? I hate it. Because he wants you to change some things. Some people need to know about Jesus, and he knows you can reach him. See, it's amazing to me, but we lose this concept, and it's so simple. But we get on this mountaintop with God. We get on this mountaintop in our relationship with God, and we think, everything's going great. All my bills are paid, right? Ooh, I just got a raise. Thank you, Jesus. And then we get in the valley. We're starting to struggle a little bit. And everything goes out the window. Oh, well, God, where are you? It's dark in here, right? Or things are going, you see this? You see what's happening, God? Here I am in this valley. But I want you to know something, that the same God that's on the mountaintop with you is the same God that's in the valley with you. The same power that was on that mountaintop back there is in this valley with you. And he's going to get you through it. But you have to trust him. You have to trust him. You have to walk in it. You have to. You have a job. You have a job. You had one job. You heard that? You have one job, dude. You have a job, and it isn't whining. It's not your job. I know we like to make that our job, right? Why? I'm like, why is my wife got to act like that? Lord. Why is my husband got to be so stupid? Lord. Change him. Change him. Change her. She's crazy. Change her. And the whole time God's saying, change yourself. Start looking at you. Start seeing what you can start doing. Start seeing how you can reach out. Start seeing what you can change. And we sit there and we whine and we whine. Do you realize that the people of Israel lost their promise because of complaining? It says that because of murmuring, he made them wander and wander and wander. You are killing your promise. You get it? You get it? You're killing your promise. Look, I got it. Jesus, God hit me with this word just for you just now. You ready? You ready for this? You want some advice about not killing your promise? Here it is. It's going to blow your mind. Shut up! I know, it was a personal word too. Shut up! Quit talking about it. Start trusting God. Start giving him glory. Things aren't going right. Well, Lord, I praise you that I still got this. Well, God, I praise you that I can still walk. God, I praise you that I can still get here. God, I praise you that I'm still able to wake up. God, I praise you that I still have a wife, that she loves me. God, thank you. Thank you, because I'm a big dum-dum. Lord, I need your help. Romans 8:37, throw that up there. This is an awesome verse. I love this verse. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. Now, let me explain some things to you. When I was And I was, growing up in church. And I've been in this church pretty much all my life. And I'd heard things like this. You are more than a conqueror. Conqueror. You're more than that. All right? You're more than that. And I'm thinking, like, that's awesome. And let me tell you what I thought when I thought conqueror for some reason. Okay? And I'm a big history buff. So just know you can be like, you're a weird nerd. Okay? But I used to think of a conquistador. That's what I would think of. I would think, you know, all the armor, they show up. What's up? Right? So I just thought that I was like a roided out conquistador. I'm like, yeah! Through Christ! Have my cape. Show up, jump off the boat. Yeah! I'm more than a conqueror. But God began to speak to me. He began to show me something. You see, it's real easy. It's real easy. When you get high up on Jesus, when you're like, woo, Holy Spirit, you know, and you're walking outside, it's so easy to walk in and start destroying the devil's kingdom. It's easy to come in and start tearing some things down. When you're fired up, you bet, they just get out of your way. You're like, yeah, it's so easy to destroy things. Let me tell you, though, it's much harder to start rebuilding God's kingdom. That's where that more comes in. More than a conqueror. Not only do you show up and you tear down the enemy's kingdom, but you build God's kingdom. You begin to establish the atmosphere. You begin to change things where things can no longer grow back the way they were because now the atmosphere doesn't support it. Now that evil is no longer there because you tore it down and you built up God's kingdom. We are called to do this. We are more than conquerors. Setting an atmosphere is a big deal. Okay? And I'm not just talking about spiritually. I'm talking about also like in everyday life. It's a huge deal. If you were to walk in this building for Sunday service and we had techno playing and there were strobing lights and there was a big disco ball and pastors up here doing the disco, like, you'd be like, what? Where am I? Some of you, though, you'd be excited. You'd be like, woo, go put my bell bottoms on. Get back out of here. Yeah. Oh, I'm feeling it. Jesus, right? You're like, woo, feeling it. Setting an atmosphere is a big deal. Why do you think we put all these lights and we play this nice music for you? It's to get you in a zone to where you can focus on God. So you can begin to clear everything out. I know when the light change happened, there might have been some people that were just like, I don't like the lights being off. Well, some people do. Some people like to get alone with God and think, nobody's looking at me. It's just between me and God right now. I love it. I love it. I love to get alone in a dark room and just think about God and just praise God. I don't even need music. Just praise Him. Just praise Him. He will change your life. So setting an atmosphere is a big deal, right? It's a big deal. It's a huge deal spiritually. There is an atmosphere in this city that is evil. Evil. Death, sickness, depression. You would not believe some of the students that we come across in our youth ministry that just what they're dealing with. It's insane. Blows my mind. I'm thinking like, I never even thought about this when I was their age. I never even gave it a second thought. I got kids handing me razors because they're cutting themselves. There's an atmosphere of evil that has been setting on this city. That has been grinding it, and people are so lost. They're so backwards. They're starting to think, well, I can just have open relationship with anybody I want. It's cool. No, you're confused. You're lost. Atmosphere is a huge deal when we begin to set the atmosphere. See, in Hebrews 2:8, it says God gave us the authority through Christ. It says He put all things under our feet. All things. He left nothing out. That's what it says. He left nothing out. He put all things under our feet. But yet, why do we let so many things walk on us? Why do we let so much stuff just come into our home and just let it walk on us? Why do we let so many people just say whatever they want? And we just, well, okay. We won't stand up for our God. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. But yet God has this purpose and He has this plan for you. And He has this power for you to walk in. He has this anointing for you to walk in. I'm not just talking about me. I'm not just talking about people that get up here and preach or play. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about the church. There's an anointing for you to walk in that would change this world. Would change it. Just one of you. It would change it. It would totally change it. We recently went to Colombia, me and my wife, to go with this orphanage foundation that we got involved with our good friends Mike and Lydia at Rosas. It's called Love Bot International. And they're putting an orphanage in Colombia, which, if you don't know, Colombia is in desperate need for an orphanage. They're like almost, I think, like number two in the world for the amount of orphans that they have, of just kids that just live in the sewers and on the streets and are addicted to drugs, that live in the slums, that just need, they need Jesus. It's what they need. So we said, well, you know what? We want to get involved with this, but we're not sure what level. So we're like, God, you're going to have to show us. Okay, you're going to have to show us what we need to do. So we get there. And I want you to understand, I've been wanting to walk in a very specific anointing, okay? And I'm not saying this to boast or to be proud, have pride or be proud or whatever. I just, this is what I want, okay? This is what I want. I want to be able to walk into a place, and just because I'm so close to God, the literally the atmosphere changes in a room just because I walked in. Why would you want to desire that? Because that's what happened with Jesus. He walked into a place. He didn't have to scream. He didn't have to yell. People looked and knew something's different. It says the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. So why can't I have that? Why can't I walk in that? So we get to Colombia, and I want you to understand this. We're going to a place that we don't know the language, okay? We don't speak of the Spanish, you know what I mean? So, like, my Espanol is piquito, you know, just small. It's not very good. It's I learned some funny sayings, though, you know, while I was there. But either way, my Spanish is not great. Sydney's is just about the same. And so we go, and we're obviously American, obviously, right? People look at us, and they're like, yeah, they're American. They look lost. So we get there, then we fly in and said, okay, God, you're going to have to show us. Is this something you want us to be a part of? Is this something for a season? Is this something, you know, and we didn't know, but Mike and Lydia were praying the exact same thing. God, show them, you know, what you want them to do. So we, right when we land, we get off the plane, and I know I can speak for Sydney for this too. I didn't feel, you know, people always tell me about missions trips that they go on, and they're like, oh, let me tell you, I got out the door and I fell to evil. There was just evil in the land. Right? Like, the devil was just hurrying down on me, and I just thought I'm going to have to just get, you know. And I'm like, oh, man, that sounds scary. Right? So I'm thinking like, oh, God, what are we going to experience when we get out the plane? And so, and I'll tell you what I felt. I'll tell you what I felt. The power of God, the peace of God, the love of God for these people, the love for this country. There's a revival coming to that country. It's going to be awesome. So we get there and we start going around and seeing things. And Mike had begun to tell us how he, every time he'd been there in the past couple of months, everyone had said, no, 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 no. You won't be able to open an orphanage. You won't be able to do this. They'll never be able to allow it. They won't make things happen for you. So he had one last meeting with the actual CPS that he actually had to get the approval from the city that the orphanage is going to be outside of. So he said, okay, we're going to go, but man, it's been pretty rough. So just letting you guys know. So we're like, okay. So we're thinking we're going to be slumming it. As soon as we get there, we get picked up, and his uncle, his very well-off uncle, opens his home to us. He has a house on top of a mountain, okay? This guy's like loaded, all right? And he lets us in, and he's like, this is your home. When you're in Colombia, you stay here. And I was just like, hey, man, yeah, I'll do it, buddy, you know? And oh, it was amazing, right? And we were just thinking like, God, this is crazy, you know? And so Mike's like, wow, that was cool. He's never really done that before, opened up his home like that for people. And he was telling them, anytime you bring groups up here for the orphanage, they can stay here. Anytime you bring people that are really wanting to invest in the orphanage, they can stay here. You're like, wow, that's huge. His place was, I'm telling you, it was just beautiful. I'll just show you pictures. It's amazing. So we're there, and then we go to this CPS, right? We go to this place, and we sit down with this lady. We get this meeting, and we sit down, and they begin to tell her what LoveBot is about, what they're wanting to do, what they're wanting to come and build the orphanage. They want to have an orphanage for 400 orphans. They want to have a school. They want to have a church, everything, a full community. And the land that they've already put the down payment on is close to about 7 acres. So it's going to be a huge, the nicest orphanage they'll ever have in Colombia. I guarantee it. It's super nice. And Mike's heart is so there. He's from that nation. He loves those orphans. It's where he feels that he needs to do what he feels he has to do to change Colombia. So we're sitting there and we're telling, they're telling us, like, this, and they're speaking, I mean, 90 nothing. And I'm just like, uh-huh, uh-huh, right? And I'm praying like, God, just let me be able to walk in this anointing. Let me be able to walk, even though I don't know the language, let me be able to make an impact. And we're sitting there, and as they're telling her, she turns around. Now, get this, several places told them no, no, shut them down, stopped him before he was done talking. She listens to everything. She's almost crying as is, and she starts saying, this is wonderful. Yes. Whatever you need, yes. Whatever you want, yes. And then we said, she said, then she turns around and says, you know what, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. We said, that's awesome. You want to pray? She goes, yeah. We start praying. She starts, God's presence just, it was amazing. They said, you got it. Green light. We're like, wow. And then we went to this orphanage where we were just given gifts. And at this orphanage, it's sad, but the nuns and the people that work it actually steal from the children. It's pretty crazy. And we're talking to these girls. It was an all-girls orphanage. And these girls, I mean, they're teenagers. They've been abandoned. Most of them have been raped. Most of them have been addicted to drugs at one point or another. And so it's really heavy stuff. But they're so excited to see us. And we're just sitting there loving on them and telling them. At one point, this girl tells us, they're asking us questions and they're translating for us, you know, and they're asking us, you know, they, of course, they kept asking Sydney. She had red hair at that time. They kept asking her, is your hair real? Is that a real hair color? You know, she's like, oh, I dyed it. And they're like, oh, you know, all amazed. And then they start to ask, they say, well, do you guys want to adopt? And we said, yeah. And when we get the money one day, we are going to adopt. And two or three of them just raised their hands immediately. They said, me, take me. And I just thought, get in the bag. Just get in the bag. We'll figure it out when we get home. Just getting in the bag, right? Like, I was so broken by this. These kids, they just need somebody to love them and to show them Jesus who loves them. And so then another thing awesome happened while we were there at that orphanage. We needed to find out all the ins and outs. Well, guess what? There was a social worker there, and for no reason at all, she said, hey, let's go upstairs and talk about all the ins and outs and all the things you're going to need to know. And so Mike's like, cool. So we go upstairs, and we set up a recorder, and she begins to tell us all the ins and outs. She's like, they're not going to tell you this, but let me tell you so you're prepared. So now we have everything we need in 2 days. Mike was like, I don't care if you guys don't want to come back. You're coming back. This has never happened before. And I'm thinking like, God, wow. Way to show up. And then another awesome thing we find out is that every night that we went to sleep, Columbia had been in a 10-month drought. And they usually are in a drought in that part of the season. And so they've been in a 10-month drought. Every night where we slept, it poured. It rained in that city where we were sleeping. And it followed us. And I thought, oh, yeah, right? Jesus! I don't, man, that trip has just rocked me. And you know, we saw some really rough spots. We saw some things, and we went through some crazy stuff. But God's presence that was there, that just wanting to change the atmosphere of that place, something broke loose in me, and I began to think, I can walk in this. See, the devil doesn't want you to know that. When you start knowing that, you start walking in it, things get dangerous for him. He starts thinking, oh, no. There she goes. There he goes. There goes everything. Everything changes. We have the authority when we spend time with the one who gives authority. We have the authority when we spend time with the one who gives authority. When you spend time with God, you have the authority. So if you go in a place thinking like, I don't think I have the authority, have you spent time with God? Have you spent time with God? Because if you have, you might as well just kick that door open because you got it. Don't worry about it. We've spent the time. We have the authority God has given us. See, Jesus changes everything. I said this last week. Jesus changes everything. He changes the atmosphere. His presence changes everything. God's presence changes everything. Let me give you a couple examples real quick. And I'm just about wrapping it up here. But go to whatever my next verse is. What is it? Luke 7. Soon afterwards, Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. Then he walked over the coffin, touched it, and the bearer stopped. Young man, he said. Notice he said. He didn't yell. Didn't have to scream. Young man, he said, I tell you, get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, a mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today. And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. Now, I want to paint this picture for you. This funeral procession is coming out. Jesus is coming in, okay? There's a funeral procession coming down this way. And I want you to understand something. When, especially back then, when a woman, she's been a widow, she's been widowed, and she has one son, that's her livelihood, okay? If he's gone, she might as well have been in a coffin next to him. So get that she's not just walking because she's lost her son, she's lost her husband, but now she's pretty much right behind it because there's nobody to take care of her. It's not like today. So they had nobody. So she's burying everything she has, literally. Everything's going with it. So she's walking. She's lost everything. She's crying. She's thinking, this is over. This is hopeless. He's dead. coming down this road, and there's Jesus. He says, don't cry. Don't cry. Don't worry about it. And he just comes over and he puts his hand on it, and now all of a sudden things that were dead have now come to life. Everything has changed. Do you realize that he's literally taken this woman's world and completely done a 360, just completely spun her around, done a 180, and just said, here it is. Here's your son. Now, I can't help but feel this. There's some of you in here. You feel like your life has been one long funeral procession. You've been walking with something dead. You've been thinking, my dreams are dead. All this stuff is dying around me. I'm just headed to the gravesite to go ahead and bury it and cancel the show. It's over, right? My dreams, everything I'm burying. But I want you to know something this morning, that Jesus is on that path, and he's about to encounter you, and he's about to change your life forever. Things that you thought would never be, you done buried it, you done closed the coffin, he's going to put his hand on it, and it's going to raise up, and things are going to begin to happen, and things are going to begin to change. Do you get that? Because the atmosphere changes when Jesus is in the room. The atmosphere changes when God's presence comes in. You said, I was going to bury this. This thing was dead, and Jesus said, no. No. Get up. Get up. Start walking in it, church. Start walking in it. There's another story I love. Go throw up the next verse. There's another story I love about Peter. Peter was my favorite disciple. Why? Because Peter was human. I think, man, if Peter can do it, I can do it, right? He denied Christ, right? And he's back in a big way. So it says, as a result of the apostles' work, sick people were brought out into the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the village around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed. That's what I want. I want to walk in that. I want to be able to walk down a place and pass by somebody, and they get out of a wheelchair and start walking. You know why? You know why? Because it's not about me. It's not about me. I don't want to have to speak. I want them to know God did that. See, it wasn't Peter's shadow. It was God's. Because Peter spent so much time with God. He spent so much time with God that God was literally just walking with him. Everything he passed. Imagine, church, you walk into your workplace. People that have been handicapped for years, get up. Imagine what your workplace would be like. They would stop, I guarantee it. If our young people walked into our schools and they walked by the special ed department, special education, special needs, and they walk by and they start walking out, they say, I can go to a regular class. What's happening? They would shut that school down. They would start saying, what? What's in the water? What's happening? Nothing in the water. We just started changing the atmosphere. Things started changing. You have the power to change the atmosphere. I want you to get that. I want you to get that because it's so important. You have the power to change the atmosphere in any situation, in any trial. I recently saw, not too long ago, I saw the new Superman. I know what you're thinking. Like, you're like, what? Superman? Like, yeah, Superman. It was awesome. It was great. Loved it. And so I watched Superman, right? And in the part of this Superman, they put this machine in, the aliens that came, you know, Superman's people that come to destroy the Earth. Sorry if I'm ruining it for you. But they brought this machine in. It was called a terraformer. Forgive me again. I'm a nerd. I like sci-fi. So it's called a terraformer. What a terraformer does is it changes the atmosphere from one way to another. So that means the thing that was living in that atmosphere can no longer breathe. They can no longer live because you've changed the atmosphere to what suits you, to suits whatever's invading. So believe me when I tell you, you're like a little portable terraformer in the spiritual world. When you show up, think about this. When you show up, the atmosphere begins to change. What once was an atmosphere full of death, sickness, depression, sleepless nights, pain, has now been changed. And you know what's amazing? Is this atmosphere in Houston that's set for evil and where the devil's thriving, we're having abortions daily, children are being sacrificed, like, and you come in and you change that. Guess what? Evil can no longer grow in that atmosphere. Evil can no longer breathe in that atmosphere. Get what I'm saying? When you begin to change the atmosphere, the devil can no longer function. He no longer has control, but you do because God's presence is in you. Get it? God's presence is in you. I love talking about this because Isaiah is awesome, and I love Isaiah. Isaiah came in here not that long ago, and he had a demon with him. He came in here, and he was, surprisingly enough, couldn't sit through the service without freaking out because there was a demon in him that was choking the life out of him. And see, the demon made the mistake of coming into an atmosphere where he couldn't breathe. Oh, that excites me. So he starts, you know, freaking out and everything. And y'all that were here know, and they've shared the story before. Pastor went back there, literally had to say a few words. Thing was gone. But here's the thing. Every time I've been a part of something like that, every time I've seen something like that happen, people get upset for some reason. There's some people that get upset. Oh, that's not right. That's not right. Church, it's not time to stop worrying when demons can't sit in your service. Okay, it's time to start worrying when they can. Okay, when they can put their feet up and they can hang out. It's time to start losing it a little bit. You get what I'm saying? It's time. Like, think about it. I don't want, you know, he walks in, grabs a program. Oh, what we got today? It's not going to faze me. Doesn't matter. But when he walks in and that demon starts sweating and he starts thinking, I can't breathe in here. Something's wrong. Because we have established an atmosphere in this church. I'm so happy to be a part of a church that has an atmosphere for miracles. I am so proud of this church. But see, here's the thing. Here's the thing. We have to take it a step further. We have to take it a step further into this city. Justin talked to y'all about last week about putting action to your faith. In fact, faith without action is dead. It's not there. So if you have faith, if you have substance, it's time to walk in it. It's time to start seeing the atmosphere change, even if you're in a trial, even if you're in a valley. See, people don't look at Christians when they're going through tough times just like other people are, and they look at them and they react the same way. They don't look at something like that. They want that. That's not something they want. But when they see somebody that's serving the Most High King, that's serving the God of all gods, that's serving the biggest thing out there, and when they're in the valley, they begin to see things grow around their feet. We're in an economic collapse right now. People are being blessed. You can walk in favor. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm talking about the fact that you can walk in favor. That doesn't just mean money. That means your health. That means people around you. It means your relationship. Some of you need to change the atmosphere in your family. You need to change it. He said, I've sat for too long and watched this addiction happen. I've sat for too long and watched you struggle. It's too long. Too long. If you don't mind, stand to your feet. We're just about done. You know, when I was really little, I have an amazing mother. She's here. She's here today. Hi, Mom, wherever you are. Can't see you. You're short. It's okay. But on my way to school, she insisted that we learn the Lord's Prayer. Insisted. So we're going to learn the Lord's Prayer. So I wonder, do you know the Lord's Prayer? People in here, you might know it. Okay, let's say it together. Let's say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Stop! Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Jesus came. You have the power inside of you. You can bring God's kingdom to earth right now. You don't have to wait. He wasn't talking about a second coming. That's going to be an awesome day. But you don't have to wait to begin to walk in the rooms, to begin to see the deaf hear, begin to see the blind see, begin to see the lame walk. You don't have to wait, church. So what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If this spoke to you this morning, if you feel this, you're like, man, I'm in a trial, and I know I am, but I'm excited because I'm growing. Or maybe you're saying, you know what? I know there's some places I need to change the atmosphere. This is all I want you to do. I want you to lift one hand, and then I want you to lift the other hand. I just want you to lift your hands up to heaven. See, this spoke to me, and I'm ready to put some action to my faith. I'm ready to change the atmosphere in this place. I'm ready to change the atmosphere in this city. Now, I just want you to repeat after me. I want you to say, God, I'm ready to walk in the anointing that you are giving me. I'm ready to walk in the authority that you have given me. No longer will I lay down and watch this world go to hell. No longer Will I watch my family struggle with addictions, with disease? I'm taking the authority. I'm kicking the devil back to hell. I'm taking the power because you, the one who conquered death, hell, in the grave, rest in me. In Jesus' name, I claim it. In Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. Let's worship. Come on, let's worship.